With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word
is the revelation.
Revelation
of His will for my life.
Of His will for my life.
Whatever says I am.
Whatever says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do.
Whatever says I can.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever says I have.
Whatever says I have.
I claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Landry, pull out that red and white plug that's in there. Thank you, son. Praise God.
Amen.
We're going to begin a new series, a new line of teaching. Some of you have probably not going to have heard these truths before that I'll be teaching you. And you will find out that they're very important, and they will also help you to understand your Bible, and it will help you to understand some of the scriptures, especially those in the Old Testament, that might be confusing to you. Praise God. The title of the series that we are beginning today is called, Does God Engage in Destructive Behavior? Say that with me. Does God engage in destructive behavior? And you will find, as you go through this series, that the answer is no. And you and I will show you all of this directly from the Bible itself. Praise God.
Amen.
If I say anything that contradicts this book, then you are to go with the book and not with me. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Nonetheless, I will attempt to. I have been studying this particular truth for years. This is probably the first time I will be teaching on this in detail as a series. And we've got a number of books that are coming out on this particular subject, because it is one that is very seldomly taught within the body of Christ and even within what you might call faith or evangelical circles. Praise God.
Amen.
Some people hint at the truth. One of the people I consider one of my spiritual mentors by distance was Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin was the first one to introduce me to this truth, but he never really expounded on it in detail as I'm going to expound on it in these upcoming weeks. Praise God.
Amen.
But you will find out that God is not a destroyer. He is not a destructive God in the least little bit. He is a savior. Praise God.
Amen.
He is a healer. Now, the question might be in your minds, well, what about all those scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, that says that God will destroy this, God will destroy that? And those are the things I'm going to show you exactly how to understand those particular passages of scripture. Praise God. So in order for me to help you, before we can even get into any detail or get into the meat of the subject, I need to give you what I call proper Bible interpretation principles. Amen.
Amen.
See, many of y'all have not learned how to properly study, understand, and interpret the Bible. And as your pastor, it is my duty and obligation to teach you how to do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And see, sometimes people have come to me and they say, well, you seem to interpret the Bible differently than name your favorite TV preacher. Well, I want to show you how I arrive at many of the conclusions that I come from in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
It may be different from your blank name your TV favorite TV preacher. But remember, let me just use Joyce Meyer for an example. You know what? I'm going to use Joyce Meyer because I like her. Amen.
Amen.
And she's my wife. She gave Joyce Meyer helped to give me the wife that I got today. Praise God. Because Joyce Meyer, when when my wife came to the States, she started watching a lot of Joyce Meyer, reading her books and everything, and now this woman's on fire for Christ.
Amen.
Before that, she was, well, let's just say, I was working on her. Amen. Let me help you understand something. Joyce Meyer, John Hagee, Frederick K.C. Price, another one of my favorites. None of these people are your pastors, praise God.
Amen.
If you're sick, you can't call Joyce, John, or Fred. Amen. You know, you call them, and they're going to ask you, do you live in wherever they're at? Do you have an appointment? You want to get with one of our secretaries? Would you like to get with one of our prayer leaders or whatever have you? They're not going to visit you personally, praise God. You know who's going to visit you? Me. Oh, yeah, God's going to visit you. God should be the one you call on first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, your pastor's going to always be there to pray for you. Hallelujah. Your pastor knows you. God has established Pastor Troy as the leader of this particular local body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So you should trust your pastor more than you trust anybody on TV. Amen?
Amen.
So if what I say contradicts what somebody says on TV, then number one, go to your Bible. Hallelujah. Because they are not the Bible. They are just like me, a frail human being trying to hear from God. Amen.
Amen.
But I would trust personally, and I was telling my wife this the other day. You know, I have a lot of favorite preachers. I got a lot of just like many of you. I got a lot of favorite preachers outside of my pastor. But I always went with my pastor before I went with anybody else. Praise God. I just, you know, Pastor Terry was probably the longest running pastor I had when I was in Okinawa, Japan. And if Pastor Terry said something that was different from one of my favorite preachers, I usually would go with what he said because I trusted him more. Praise God. Because I was around this man all the time. I knew I knew the integrity of his heart. And he was a man of God. He was an excellent teacher. And he was one thing about Pastor Terry, he was a very critical thinker. If you wonder why I'm the way I am, that man taught me how to be a critical thinker. Praise God. So Pastor Terry, if you're listening to this, thank you. Or some people may not thank you. Because I'm a very critical thinker. But the thing is that you need to understand how to interpret the Bible for yourself. And I'm going to show you how the principles that I use to interpret the Bible so that I come to the conclusions that I've come to about God. But the first thing, let's read our foundation text, which is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and use them. Even though we have it up on the screen, you should still know how to use your sword, praise God.
Amen.
Because the screen ain't always going to be in front of you. When the devil's attacking you, you got to know where the scripture's at. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to know where your book's at. Go to 2 Peter. It is right after 1 Peter. Well, it's right after James. It's before 1 John. Praise God. 2 Peter, or before Jude. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Say private.
Private.
Interpretation.
Interpretation.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what that means in plain English. Everything in your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, was given to men by the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
You will hear atheists and even some so-called Christians talk about, well, the Bible was written by men and it contradicts itself. No, that's a lie. How many of y'all have ever done secretarial work? How many of y'all have ever done dictation? None of y'all? Well, I've had how many of y'all have ever taken notes when somebody's preaching? Few of y'all, y'all should be taking notes right now. but the thing is that you are taking down what somebody else is saying, praise God.
Amen.
So on your paper, when you write down stuff, you're not writing down your thoughts. You're writing down the notes that you heard from the preacher. Praise God. Amen. And so that is what the writers of the Bible did. These were men who were used by God to write down his words. So it was the Holy Ghost that came upon men. And they began to dictate to us the word of God. Now, listen to me. The reason why Peter says that scripture is of no private interpretation is God does not like people interpreting his word in their own way, in their own desire. How many of you have ever been misunderstood? Put your hands up. That should be 100% of y'all. How many of y'all have ever had somebody say, tell somebody something, and then they tell it to somebody else, and it sounds completely different than what you said and intended? How many of y'all have had that happen to you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but many. I can raise hands, and if I could, I'd raise both feet, too. People have misinterpreted things I've said. They misinterpreted things you said.
Yep.
How did y'all feel? Did you get excited?
No.
Did you say, oh, well, they're just doing their best? No. How dare you? If you didn't understand what I said, instead of going back and telling so-and-so something that I really did not say, you should have came back to me and got a better understanding. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, that's the same thing with the book. If you don't understand God's book, then you should not be going around saying that God said this when he did not say that. Praise God.
Amen.
And you should not interpret God's words based on your own personal feelings. See, people going around talk about, well, everybody interprets God's word, interprets the Bible the way they want to. There's so many different interpretations. There's the Baptist interpretation. There's the Pentecostal interpretation. There's the Calvinist interpretation. There's the Arminian interpretation. Blah, blah, blah. No! There's one interpretation. That's the Holy Ghost interpretation. Praise God.
Amen.
And so, there should only be one consistent understanding of Scripture. Because Scripture is of no private interpretation. So that's why you have to have the right biblical method in order to properly interpret the Bible. Praise God.
Amen.
And so, as we endeavor to understand whether or not God engages in destructive behavior, is God the author of sickness? Is God the author of disease? Is God the one who makes people poor? Is he the one who makes people die in car accidents? Is he the one who sends drunk drivers to go kill people? Is God the one who sends bad weather and destroys churches as well as houses? Is God the one who sends Muslims into airplanes to destroy buildings? A lot of people will tell you, yeah, God had everything to do with that. A lot of people will tell you that. And let me tell you, they will find you scripture too. And so that's why, and see, you might hear me tell you that God doesn't do those things, and you might hear me give you some scripture on that, but then you talk to somebody else and you tell them, well, my pastor taught me last Sunday that God doesn't do that. And then they'll show you a scripture and say, oh, but look at this. And because if you don't know how to interpret the Bible properly, you'll go, man, pastor was wrong. And you will. And I understand that because I've been there. Because, you know, I went through a period of time. I'm like, you know, man, I can't understand this old text. I'm talking about when I was a preacher. I don't understand some of these things. God looks pretty bad in some parts of the Bible. How many of y'all have read the Old Testament and God just looked so bad in there? I'm telling you, he looks pretty bad. I mean, he looks like in some parts of the Old Testament, if you don't know how to interpret it, God looks like a monster. But let me share something with you. You become like the God you worship. This is a spiritual principle I want you to never forget. You become like the God you worship. If you believe that God is a kind, loving, good God, you'll be like him, praise God.
Amen.
Because you'll want to emulate him. Why do the Muslims go around killing people? Because their God is a murderer. Why is it that a Muslim doesn't mind lying? Because their God's a liar. Allah is a liar. Muhammad was a rapist. He was a womanizer. He was an enslaver. He was a murderer. He was just like the God he created and worshiped. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, he didn't create him. The God he worshiped, his name was Satan. But he changed his name to Allah. Now, a lot of Christians kind of believe that Allah and Jehovah are the same person. That's not true. Yeah. Jehovah, Yahweh, is a totally different person than Allah. Because number one, if Allah and Muhammad believed that Jesus was only a prophet, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, there's already a separation right there. Praise God.
Amen.
I know one guy who stopped coming to this church. And so I went to go visit him and find out what was going on. And he told me, he said, I can't come to y'all church no more because y'all worship Jesus.
Oh,
yeah. I said, yeah. And why do you have a problem with that? He says, the holy book says that Jesus is not God. I said, I don't know what holy book you're reading, son. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. At this church, Jesus will get all the worship. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to worship Jesus till the day I die. I'm going to die worshiping Jesus. Glory!
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's one thing you can talk to me about certain things you think the church needs to change, but that sure ain't going to be one of them. Two things you'll never get to change. Jesus, the focus on Jesus here, and the focus on the Bible. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You may say, well, you know, Pastor, we need some different kind of songs. I might oblige you. Amen. Unless you're talking about you want some of them rap songs. Yeah, I used to be a rapper. I know it's of the devil, so we ain't doing that here. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, but the thing is that we need to understand the truth about God, and the only way to understand the truth about God is to understand the book that he's given us that reveals information about him. Amen.
Amen.
Everything you need to know about God is right here in this book. But you've got to learn to understand how to interpret it properly. So, y'all ready for some principles?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to try to give you four of them today. It's actually seven. I know not to keep you here too long, because if I keep you here too long, then y'all have a hard time coming back the next week. All right. Principle number one. Principle number one is recognize that God is the source of only good. Say that with me. Recognize that God is the source of only good. Now, I'm going to show you this from the Bible. And we got them up on the screen. So just so we don't spend a whole lot of time, we're just going to look at the screen. You ought to, if you're taking notes, you should be jotting these scriptures down so you can look at them in context later. Matthew chapter 7, verse 18. Won't we read that together? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I ain't hearing y'all. Let's see it again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Is God good?
Yes.
Well then, if God is good, then he can't bring forth evil fruit. Praise God.
Amen.
How can a good tree bring forth evil fruit and then still call itself good? That's why I don't understand these people who go around talking about, well, you know, God brought good out of the evil. The Bible never teaches that. The Bible does say that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, that what Joseph's brothers meant for evil, God meant for good, or to say it in a different way, he turned it around for good. But it doesn't say that God needs evil in order to bring good. Praise God.
Amen.
God just knows how to turn difficult situations around for us. But it doesn't mean that he wants evil to happen. God does not ordain or bring forth evil because he's good, and a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Praise God.
Amen.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And listen to this. And in him is no darkness at all. Praise God.
Amen.
See, if there's darkness in God, then he can bring darkness out of him. Amen. Amen. And we know that darkness is nothing but a metaphor or a synonym of evil. And there is no darkness in God, so he doesn't bring forth darkness. All darkness happens when we move further and further away from the light. Praise God. Amen. Do you know why there's light in here? Why there's no darkness in here? Because we got the lights on. Praise God. Amen. So that's why there's no darkness. Light rushes the way to darkness. So how could God, if he has no darkness in him, how can he bring forth darkness into your life and my life? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's look at another one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things, say good things.
Good things.
Give good things to them that ask him. Now, I don't understand how some people believe that God does the things to people that they would never do to their own children. They think that they love their children more than God loves his. I mean, God gave me this cancer in order to glorify himself and to make me a better person. That ain't God. God is not a God of sickness, praise God. You're going to learn all this as we go through the series. God is not a God of sickness and disease. God is a God who gives only good gifts, praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all, would, you know, when your child gets on your nerves, you just give them a batch of AIDS? How many of y'all would do that? Would you do that?
Nope.
Why would you? Why do we accuse God of doing those type of things? A famous basketball player went around talking about God gave me AIDS. No, you whoremongering gave you AIDS. Praise God.
Amen.
You sleeping around all them women gave you AIDS. That God didn't have nothing to do with that.
Amen.
You should, if you kept it zipped, you wouldn't be saying that. Praise God.
Amen.
So God did not go around giving anybody anything. That came from sin and darkness. God only gives good gifts. Say that with me. Say, God only gives
good gifts.
Ah, because he's the father of lights and there's no shadow of darkness in him. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 13 and 17. We're going to look at verse 13 and skip on down to 17. You can read the in-between when you get home. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that God tempts people? Good. I'm glad you're reading your Bible. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Praise God.
Amen.
Your desire to sin, that fellas, your desire to look at that fine looking woman walking across the street did not come from God. Praise God.
Amen.
That was the devil. That was a Satan. That was the evil spirit speaking to you saying, don't she look fine? And instead of you saying, I ain't looking, you sit there and go, yeah. Yeah. Some of you ladies doing that too. Sitting around at the water cooler waiting for the... We had a guy where I worked at. I mean, you know, he's a nice looking guy. Judging from a man's standpoint and judging from the fact that the women just used to go all googly when he came. I used to call him the repair of the printers. He'd come in. I mean, the women would just go nuts. I mean, he walking around. You know, he minding his business, just going to try to fix the printers. You know, nice looking young African-American brother. He just walking in and trying to fix the printers. And all of a sudden, the women got to, for some strange reason, got to go over there where that printer's broken at. Just so that, and I mean, they'd be talking. They, oh, so-and-so's here. And I'm like, man. I said, women are sometimes worse than men. Just lusting after this guy. Now, some of y'all might say, well, you just jealous he wasn't doing that. They weren't doing that to you. Believe it or not, that's happened to me in the past, but we ain't going to go there. but the thing is that is not, God did not give you that temptation, praise God.
Amen.
God did not give you that temptation to sleep with that guy or sleep with that girl. God did not give you that temptation to take them drugs. We need to stop blaming God for things he didn't do.
Yeah.
He tempted no man. And then it goes on to say, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Say from above.
From above.
And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise God.
Amen.
God is so much light, he ain't even got a shadow. So there's no darkness in God. God cannot give you anything that is evil. No evil fruit comes from him because of his nature, his character. He is full of light. There's no evil. There's no darkness in him. He's good. He cannot bring forth evil fruit. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look at another one. James chapter 3. Looking at verses, beginning at verse 11. We're talking about proper Bible interpretation principles. We're still on number one, which is to recognize that God is the source of only good. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. It says, does the fountain send forth at the same time, same place, sweet and bitter water? Does it? Can you get both sweet and bitter water from a fountain? Well, let's put it in today's analogy. Can you get both clean and dirty water from your water fountain?
No.
You can only get one kind, right?
Yes.
That's what James is asking you. Can a fountain bring forth both clean and dirty water? It says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Praise God. It just can't do both. In other words, God can't be both good and evil as some people try to make him out to be. He can't be both loving and hateful. Praise God.
Amen.
Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. In other words, some of y'all that be wanting to give people a piece of your mind, some of y'all that be wanting to go off on somebody, that ain't coming from God. Praise God.
Amen.
Some of y'all that get mad and you just gonna let them know that you don't mess with me. I'm gonna go down there and talk to them. I'm gonna let them know you don't mess with me. That ain't coming from God. I used to be that way. I'm from Trenton. Don't mess with me. Man, nobody care where you from. I'm from the streets. Yeah, well, a lot of people got shot on the streets. Praise God.
Amen.
I've learned to be humble. Praise Jesus. Oh yeah, don't think that flesh still rise up in me. It still does. But I've learned to put it down. I've learned to say, flesh, we ain't gonna react that way. You know, sometimes, especially when you got a wife and children, it starts to make you think a little bit more. Maybe if I was still single, I might have let the flesh rise up a little bit more. But when you say, hey, I can go in and tell that man, give that man a piece of my mind and get thrown out on the streets with my wife and children, or I can keep a job and be humble and let God handle this. Often I've let God handle it, and God has blessed me in multiple ways. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, that doesn't come from God. And let's go on. It says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, God only gives good stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't give bad wisdom. He doesn't give you the street. God is not street wise. Praise God.
Amen.
God is not the one who tells you to go get a gun and go shoot that guy who stepped on your sneaker last night at the party. Praise God.
Amen.
God is not that ain't God. God is that kind of wisdom doesn't come from God. The kind of wisdom that comes from God is one that makes peace with its enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if it can't make peace with its enemy, then it stays as far away from its enemy as it can. It doesn't go looking for vengeance. Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, bad things do not come from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Things that are evil do not find its source in God. So that is the first principle you've got to keep in mind as we are studying this. So what is the first principle? Anybody can remember? Oh, come on, y'all's right up on the screen. It's open book text!
Yeah.
All right, y'all sound like y'all ain't sure. Let's read it together. Recognize that God is the source of only good. Praise God. Amen. I don't know, you know, my daughter's going to this college right now where they allow you to take your test with the open book. I went to that same college, too. I did a year of it until I just quit. But, you know, the funny thing is, I did all my open book tests, and I still got answers wrong. So,
yeah. Yes, Pastor, I got a question.
Okay, what's your question, baby?
Because every day we say everything that happened, God knows about everything. And you're telling all our God do not know about bad things. How can he don't know about
bad things? I'm not saying he don't know it. I'm saying he's not the one who distributes it.
If the bad thing happen, how are we going to say? We will say that, God, you don't know about it, or we're going to pray, or I don't know.
Well, always remember this. In this world, there is a warfare between God and Satan for the people. See, Satan is, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that Satan holds sway over this world, or he controls this world. A lot of people like to say God is in control, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that. The Bible says that Satan, the evil, he is referred to as the evil one, and it says that he controls this world. Matt, let's look. Lydia asked a question. We're gonna deviate from the lesson for a minute. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're gonna deviate from the lesson to answer Lydia's question. We believe in answering questions. Praise God.
Amen.
Nobody should go home wondering. Also, I have a book coming out. I try not to do a lot of promotions because it's supposed to go on TV and you're not supposed to be able to promote products on the local television station. But and I'm not telling anybody to buy it. But we have a book coming out called Why Evil? Praise God. And it's going to explain a lot of the things that I'm going to give you very, very briefly. It's 170-something pages of stuff that I'm going to give you in a couple of minutes. Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all found it?
Yeah.
Now wait for me to get there. Maybe I should have just taught on God's not the author of evil today and then moved on to this series. I think I taught that before, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
At the Bible study.
All right. See, that's good. See, Lydia, you ain't come to Bible study. That's what's wrong. I'm teasing you, but it's true. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the bad things God sends against you." Anybody reading that? Did I read it wrong? Yes, I did. It says that you may be able to stand against what?
The wiles of the evil.
The wiles of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
See, this is what I'm saying. Y'all got to pay attention. You got to read your Bibles. You got to know your Bible. See, y'all listen to these TV preachers and stuff, and they're telling you stuff that ain't even in the Bible. And I'm telling you, one famous TV preacher, I'm not even going to mention his name, but he says that God was the one who sent those Muslim airplanes to destroy the buildings on 9/11. Yeah. See, if you listen to these guys, you're going to be confused. Now, look at this. Verse 12, I'm not even finished. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against," listen to this, "the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you know why I have y'all hold your Bibles up? Because the spiritual wickedness are in high places, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rulers, Lydia, of this world are the rulers of darkness, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan and his evil spirits are the ones who rule the darkness. Now, God, see, when we teach this way, sometimes people get confused when they say, "Well, isn't God omnipotent? Isn't he sovereign? Isn't he all powerful? Isn't he almighty? The answer to all of that is yes, yes, yes. We just got finished singing, "You are a mighty God." So God is a mighty God. However, in Genesis chapter 1, he gave us dominion over the earth, praise God. He gave man charge over the earth. And it's like my, and let me use an illustration, because I think an illustration will help this out. Say if I bought a house, and I gave my daughters the lease to the house. And I said, "Girls, I said, you're in charge of this house while I'm gone. I'm signing it over to you because I trust y'all. Now, what if some slick willy comes over and seduces my daughters and say, 'Hey, man, y'all some fine looking young ladies. You know, I like this house. I promise y'all, if you sign this house over to me, I'll marry you and I'll make you rich.'" Mm-hmm. And then they fall for it. Yeah. And they say, "Okay." And they sign the house over. Now, I may be stronger than this dude who took the house from me. I may be badder than this dude. I may have a gun. He may not have nothing. But legally, he now owns the house. Praise God.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about it. So I have to find a legal way to get the house back from him. I can't do it by force, because if I shoot him, I go to jail. Well, God, even though he's all-powerful and almighty, he respects the laws that he established. Praise God. God may be sovereign, but he's not a lawbreaker. Praise God. If God establishes a law, he works within his own laws. He's not a hypocrite like we are. You know, some of us, you know, who've been parents longer than you, Lydia, my daughters will testify to this in a negative way. Sometimes I've told them to do things that I say, I do as I say, not as I do.
Right? That's a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke, yeah. But the thing is that the truth is that God's not like man, where he does something and he tells us to do something that he will himself will not do. And so God is the kind of God who works within the law. And so he could not just use force on Satan to take the world back from him. So he had to find another way to do that. And the way he did it in short term is that he himself became a man and let Satan do his worst to him. And Satan illegally killed the Son of God. You see, Satan had a right to kill me and you, because we were sinners, praise God. We were subject to death. We sinned, and so putting ourselves in sin put ourselves under Satan's reign. And he had a right to do with us what he wanted to do. But when he killed Jesus, that was illegal. And so when he did that, Jesus rose from the dead and took back everything that Satan took from us, praise God. And so that's why when you became born again, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now have authority over Satan. The only reason why you are left in this world is because God wants you to use your authority to win other people to Christ Jesus. Because there's a lot of people out there that's lost. God does not force his will on anybody. And so Satan is at present the ruler of this dark world. There's going to come a day when Jesus is going to come to the earth and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be put into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And there will be nothing. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 65 that there will be nothing that will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Praise God. Amen. See, you're going to find out what it's like for Jesus to reign on the earth when Satan's put in that pit for 1,000 years. You're going to find out what it's like for Jesus to be in charge. Right now, Satan is still in charge. Praise God. Amen. He's not in charge of me and you, but he's in charge of this present evil world. Amen? Amen. And so that is the reason why we are the Bible tells us, we just read right here, we're in a warfare. And we're not to accept the evil things that come against us. The Bible tells us right here in verse 11, we are to stand against the wiles, or another word is strategies of the devil. When he shoots at you, He shoots a sickness at you, he shoots a disease at you, then you are to stand against it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let me read one more portion of this. It says, in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Amen. So God wants you, he doesn't want you to sit there and say, "Well, God is in control, I'll just submit to this." No, he wants you to stand against it. See, if Mars had done that, he still probably would not have his papers right now. It took us a lot of praying, a lot of fasting. It took us a lot of standing against Satan. Yep. It took us a lot of taking our authority over him and telling that devil that you ain't going to have. See, look at that. People that ain't even saved, they ain't even going to church. And Mars' family, they getting their papers. Because Satan don't care about them. Satan wanted to target that man. And so that's what, so I hope all my preaching, I hope you understand a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Amen. But yeah, we'll get you some more material later on to help you with understand all this. I know this is kind of new to you if you haven't heard this type of teaching before. But do you understand a little bit better now?
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
All right, good. I don't think it's wrong. Even though this is a Sunday service, I personally don't think it's wrong to stop to answer questions like that. Amen.
Amen.
I remember a couple of months ago, I was teaching a Holy Spirit seminar down in New Bedford, a three-day seminar, and I touched on some of this, and a young lady asked almost a similar question as Lydia. I stopped the whole Soul Holy Ghost seminar and started teaching on that. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. This is my area. I love it. I've been studying and eating this stuff for over almost 30 years now. Terry's shaking her head. Because I talk about this stuff all the time. I don't get to preach it a lot, but I love to talk about it. Praise God. So Amen. Hopefully we understand principle number one. We're going to teach more on these things, why there's evil in the world and things of that nature. Right now, I just want you to understand that your God is not destructive. Because if you don't understand that, then you will accept everything as coming from him. And you will not stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now Lydia done made me take up all my time. No, baby, that's all. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with those questions. As a matter of fact, I love those kind of questions. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if you ask me questions like, "Did you brush your teeth last weekend?" You know, like, ask me questions like that, I love them. Amen. All right. Let's look at one more principle real quick. Do we have time for that? No, we won't deal with principle number two today. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But did y'all learn anything today?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Well, next week we will deal with principle number two. I'm going to give y'all a hint on what that's going to be so you can go home and think about it. Principle number two, all views of God must be seen through the Jesus grid. Say that with me. Say all views of God must be seen through the Jesus grid. See, Jesus displays the character of God. I'm going to say this real quick and we get ready to close out. I'm not going to be like the preacher I heard yesterday when I was at the prayer breakfast. He said, "I'm almost done." And then he went about another 35 to 40 minutes. The famous last words of the preacher. "We're almost done." 45 minutes later. That was a good message, though. Don't get me wrong, but it was just long. But the thing is that Jesus is just like God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whenever you see Jesus, you see what God is like. Whenever you read about Jesus in those four Gospels, he is acting exactly like the Father. If the Father had came instead of Jesus, there would be no change in the history of the Gospels. Praise God.
Amen.
The Father would have done the exact same thing Jesus did. Now let me ask you a question. Did God ever put sickness on anybody? Did Jesus put a sickness on anybody?
Nope.
No.
No. He went around doing what?
Healing.
Yes. Praise God. Did Jesus ever go and snatch somebody's property and destroy their property?
Nope, no.
Well, he did one time. He went to the temple.
Oh, yeah. Well,
took that whip and that's because they were cheating people. So when you make God mad and you cheat people, then God will deal with you. Praise God. But still, he didn't kill him. He just drove him away. But the thing is that God is not destructive. And if you want to understand God, You got to understand Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We'll touch more on that next week, Lou, because I'm excited about teaching that part, because I love me some Jesus. Ooh, I'm telling you, I'm a Jesus freak. I can talk about Jesus all day long. That's how much I love. Some of y'all can talk about football. Y'all can only talk about Jesus for a little bit. I can talk about Jesus all day because I love him. I am addicted to Jesus, and I ain't ashamed of it. Amen. Stand to your feet. Thank y'all for the patty cakes. All right. If y'all going to clap, give me some real clapping now.
Yeah.
All right, that's better, huh? Don't patty cake the word of God now. Give us some real cheers.
Amen.